Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 24th of May, recording at 9:23 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. And what a scorcher it is over here. Well, less so in the markets, although in Asia we had quite firm stock markets following Friday's strength on Wall Street. China was particularly strong, I think up just under 3.5%. And in Europe, we had a sort of a mixed day. Actually, stock markets were quite weak at one stage, but then pegged back those declines and closed mixed on the day. Now, the U.S. went really rather the opposite direction. The U.S. stock market had been down slightly to unchanged for most of the day, but then fell towards the close with the Dow and the S&P closing about 1.25% down each, with lesser decline on the NASDAQ. And long-dated government bond prices, they were steady in Europe and it looks like just about unchanged in the USA. The dollar was firm in here. I see the euro has fallen back to 23.66. So the dollar is firmer. It's also up against the yen today, and I think that's the main currency story. The resources currencies firmed up. But have given that decline up, beg your pardon, have given those gains up as Wall Street sold off. But they had firmed earlier on because metal prices were stronger, and they maintain that strength. Gold has had a good, decent day, up 15. It's currently at 1,192 and change. Platinum was up 30 after its big blowout to the downside of the last 2 weeks, closed at 1531. Silver back to 17, back up to 1793. Copper in the U.S. Steady, 312, although off the high. And the soft commodities seem to have had a relatively quiet day. Crude oil hovering around that $70 level. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of global stock markets, it's still a very nervous environment. We are still within this corrective phase, which has done more technical damage, considerably more technical damage, than the correction that we saw to the moving average means, 200-day moving average means, in February. So at this stage, also, it's too soon to say that this correction is over, although we do have some short-term oversold conditions that have actually occurred. But the news factors have certainly changed since current level and February, early February, when stock markets started to rally quite strongly. The only news factor that was known back then that has been perhaps an influence more recently was China's gradual draining of liquidity to curb its runaway property market. But we hadn't had the blow up in southern European long-dated government bond yields, or the although they have subsequently subsided, they're still well above bund yields, and we've had this massive bailout which has just transferred the debts to the ECB. So say that that problem was not known, nor had we had the move against Goldman Sachs, and quite possibly other central other investment banks by the SEC. And we had not had that mysterious and rather alarming meltdown that we saw on the 6th of May, all factors that have been eroding confidence here recently. Now, weigh it all up, and what have we got? I touched on this on Friday in the big picture long-term outlook, but we have a deflationary environment in Europe. And that is certainly looks likely to persist for a few years. We've had the big cuts in public spending, and we've had the tax rises. All the European governments are cutting expenditure. So that's going to slow growth, and it is going to compound the disinflationary to deflationary pressures that we were seeing there previously. If we take a long-term view, it's just what the region needs. It's got to get that government debt under control. And we're seeing the same thing, or we will see similar steps in the UK. Now, while that process is taking place, the euro has weakened considerably, which is good news for Europe's most successful exporters, particularly those that are leveraged to emerging Asia. So that's one large chunk of the global economy. Euroland actually is the European Union is the world's biggest economy if you consider it as one. Now, in North America, we have the well, North America has been the recipient of the flight to safety. And when we look at that and we see the dollar going up, it's not surprising that people have wanted to place some of their assets in the US, and US Treasury yields have been coming down. But as the dollar goes up, of course, that creates an increasing headwind for US exporters. And veteran subscribers will remember at times in the past, including in the first quarter and second quarter of 2009, that our favorite sector, practically the only sector that we really liked in the US economy, that was the exporters, the big exporters that were leveraged to the Asian market, plus the information technology companies, but those were mostly also leveraged to the global economy. President Obama is championing an export-led drive as part of the recovery process for the U.S. economy, but this strong U.S. dollar is creating a headwind for that. Now, so I think we've got some future problems there, and we have the existing problems, which are in the form of the still mushrooming U.S. debt situation, debt and deficit situation. So this is not a healthy overall environment in either Europe or the USA, although arguably we can say that both regions are taking steps to curb their runaway deficits. There are only two ways to do that. You've got to improve growth, or you've got to cut in expenditure, and preferably both. Well, the US has improved growth. It hasn't cut expenditure, to my knowledge. Europe hasn't been able to improve growth all that much, but now it's really starting to cut expenditure. Now you take the third major region of the global economy, Asia, and they don't have these massive deficits in developing emerging Asia, so it's Asia ex Japan that I'm talking about. As I said, they do not have these large deficits. They do not have high private debt levels. They have high savings rates. And also, we don't have to worry about a growth slowdown which is guaranteed in Europe and is a possibility, if not a probability, for the U.S. economy. We don't have to worry about that because China, India, these economies never even went into recession during the what is described as the worst recession for the USA since the 1930s. I'm not sure that it was a worse recession than the 70-74 period, but I don't want to digress. So back to the point here, Asia may well see somewhat slower growth because we have had some monetary tightening there. But overall, it's in a lot healthier state than either the USA or the European economy. And therefore, I know where I want to go with my money when I next invest. Now, keep an eye on China. China led on the move up to the top in the stock markets back in 2007. It was the first bottom in late 2008, and it was the first peak in the following the recovery cycle, having peaked back in July and August of 2009. And China looks a bit oversold to me. If you look at the Shanghai Composite Index, I'm posting that today, this evening, and we saw a powerful upward dynamic here today. That's only one signal, but I think there's a good chance that China will be a contender to lead the next upswing. What I don't know, because this correction has been more significant than I had hoped, what I don't know is when that next upswing will occur. In the short term, we can say stock markets are mostly oversold, but you can stay oversold for a very long time. That's the problem with that. So in the absence of clear evidence that stock markets are recovering, in the absence of that, we do have a risk of a further correction or best case ranging phase, which could continue for a number of months. I don't think this is a bear market overall, although it arguably is for some of those southern European stock markets, which are getting down close to their March lows, led by Greece. But that's not the rest of the world. And I think you net it all out. I think we see a period of underperformance, and then I expect Asia to lead the way on the upside, and probably before the end of the year. That's my best guess at this stage, at any rate. Gold, meanwhile, and the other precious metals have steadied after those very sharp pullbacks, but I think the cycle's running out of time. This medium-term cycle is running out of time. I just want to make sure I don't confuse anyone with that comment. I think it's less likely that we will see another new high, for instance, in this quarter for gold, partly because palladium and platinum have clearly peaked on the charts, and I think they're the leaders in this cycle. But I don't feel there's any need for anybody who holds gold bullion to be selling in here, because if we get overall asset weakness, I would expect gold to fall less. When animal spirits come back, I wouldn't be surprised if gold is quite competitive once again. And so I regard it as one of the safer long-term investments at this stage, but I'm no longer buying it for futures plays. I might, if I weren't going on holiday on Wednesday, I might have a few long positions in the oversold platinum and palladium markets, and possibly gold and silver. But I'm not going to open any new trades in those markets for a technical rally with that holiday coming up. And I think that's covered the main points in here today. So all the best.